Today on Real Life Radio.
America is a post-Christian nation. Wake up. When you throw the Ten Commandments out of the United States of America, it's a post-Christian nation.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, God's Final Witness to the World, Part 5. You know, we can't pick up the Bible without reading about God's love and grace to a rebellious and fallen world, a world that's lost in sin that refuses to follow God. You see, all we have to do is look around to realize that our world is heading in the wrong direction. Even today, there's trouble among the nations, but in the fight for supremacy, mankind's battle to rule is nearly over. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we've got to choose Christ as our Savior while there's still time. Jesus is alive, and He has secured a place in heaven for all who believe and who have chosen Him as Savior. Now in his message called God's Final Witness to the World, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus wants to give your life purpose and a meaning and strength. He wants to give your life a meaning. And I tell you, the greatest worship, I mean, look at us, people, quite frankly, remember when we were being led in that worship and an on-time kind of God? Oh, that's great stuff. He may not come when you want Him, but He's always on time. Do you know that if we would have just said, in Jesus' name, amen, now go to your homes, go to your town, to your community, go to your neighborhood, with that song bouncing around in your head, we would have went out of here just like a bunch of tornadoes, singing on time kind of God. Your neighbors, you see, you pull up, hey, you're home from church kind of early, aren't you? No, He's an on time kind of God. You'd have been all pumped up. How does that happen? We come together and we should never forsake the coming together. We worship together. There's a strength. There's a unity. There's a power. There's a battery charging that takes place. And then we go out. Why is that the case? Not only is it because He's our Savior, but He's the Almighty. It says, we give thanks to You, Lord God Almighty. Who is the Almighty? It's God. It's the Lord God. But wait a minute. The Bible tells us in Revelation 1:8, Jesus is speaking, and He says that He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the One who is, who was, who is to come. Jesus says of Himself, the Almighty. Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1:17 and 18. Jesus said, I'm the first and the last. I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Wait a minute. Jesus was alive and He died and came back to life, and He's also the first and the last, and He's also the One who is the Almighty. That's what the Bible says. Revelation 4:8, and the angels fell down before the Lord and worshiped Him, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Who is the One, according to the Bible, who was, is, and is to come? It's Jesus. It says it here in Revelation 11, and it tells us throughout Scripture. You need to know who Jesus is. There's a reason why I'm telling you this. Revelation 2:8, I am the first and the last. I am He who was dead and came to life. Hey, do you know anybody who was the first and the last who died and came to life? There's only one. He's the Almighty. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Lord, our Savior. He's God, says the Bible. Oh, I don't know, I can't handle that. Hang on, it's going to get better for you or worse. Depends on what you're believing. Titus 2:13, while we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can it be any more clear than that? No wonder why the angels and the elders are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaiming glory and victory and honor unto Him who is, who is to come, the Almighty. It's their Savior. It's their Redeemer. It's their King. It's the Christ. Titus 2:10. That we may adorn ourselves with the doctrine of God our Savior. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is My name, and I will give My glory to none other. He doesn't share. Hosea 13:4. Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior but me alone. Is that not great? And all God's people said,
amen.
Please, this is great news. Powerful stuff. I'll end with this one. I mean, I'm not ending. I'm ending with this point here. God says in Proverbs 30, verse 4, I hold the waters in my hands. I hold the nature in my fists. What is my name? And what is the name of my son, if you can tell me? I hope you can tell him. The Bible says that it's at the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Third and final point, verses 18 to 19. This is great stuff. Hang on to your seats. This is tremendous. Verse 18 is one of the most unique scriptures in all of the Bible. It says here, the nations were angry, comma, and your wrath has come, comma, and the time of the dead, comma, that they should be judged, comma, and that you should reward your servants and the prophets and the saints, comma, and those who fear your name, comma, small and great, comma, and should destroy those who destroy the earth, period. What's with the comma? Listen, when Jesus Christ came preaching his first public message, Jesus came into the synagogue, as was his custom, and they handed him the prophet Isaiah. Jesus found the place, didn't have numbers back then. Jesus, it says, found the place and opened the scriptures that we know now as Isaiah 61. Jesus opens up the scripture and he says something that we are all very familiar with. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, comma. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, comma, to proclaim liberty to the captives, comma, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, semicolon. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma. And Jesus, watch everyone, Jesus did this. It says he then stood and closed the book and set it down. And he said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Well, how come you didn't keep reading? My friend, in Isaiah 61, your life and mine has been held by a comma. Because right in the middle of verse 2, look what it says. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, Isaiah 61, verse 2, comma, and the day of the vengeance of our God. That is a title of the tribulation period. I've come to preach, comma, pause, everything stops. Jesus preaches the church, preaches salvation to the world. Jesus announces to the disciples, go and preach the gospel to every creature, comma. When did you accept Christ? It was in a comma. Not a coma, a comma. He brought us out of our coma and saved us by a comma. You can reference that Isaiah 61, beginning at verse 1, and Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. He has come. Well, the nations were angry. Well, the nations have always been angry. This verse, this is what's unique about verse 18. People, don't panic. Verse 18 is what's known as a collective verse. It's a broad span. Verse 18 covers thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It covers from, listen, man's rebellion in the Garden of Eden. Who was that? Mr. and Mrs. Who? Adam and Eve. All the way out, verse 18, to the culmination of Christ and his coming. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Listen, in verse 18, this is what he's saying. It's all going to consummate in Christ. The end is near. It's coming. From the rebellion of man in the Garden of Eden to the horrific events of the tribulation period, verse 18 announces that it's coming soon. The conclusion is very near. It's not open for opinion. You say, well, Pastor, is it next week? I'm not talking about our time. We know this, that verse 18 is at least 7 years away from now. We know that for sure. At least that. But does not the world hate God? Have you seen what's going on in the news? This has been an amazing week for news. There's been some more courts, who are out of their boundaries, by the way, declaring, as we saw down south, that in this week in the news, that a certain community, they're already voting, they're already arguing on Christmas. It's on the news. It was on Fox News. Bill O'Reilly did a thing on it. I went online, I read about it. They're already fighting about Christmas. No nativity in Miami. So then the people who are Christians said, well, what about other people? You are allowing Muslim half moons, crescent moons, and Jewish crosses, or Star of David. We don't want those taken down. We want our nativity. And they said, no, America already knows about Christianity. These are cultural issues. They're learning things. They're learning issues. No cross, no nativity, other things fine. America is a post-Christian nation. Wake up. When you throw the Ten Commandments out of the United States of America, it's a post-Christian nation. It's a post-Christian nation. This nation's hanging on by a thread. That thread, thank God, the Lord has the whole of the other end of it. I just hope and pray that, as the scripture says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. But the world hates God. And the scripture says that the nations were angry. They rejected him. It says at the time of the dead that they should be judged. This is an interesting word. The Bible teaches that you can be living right now, drawing air back and forth and blood pumping, and still be dead spiritually. These people never had life. It's not that they're dead. They are dead, but they're spiritually dead. They never had spiritual life. And he says that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and all those who reverence your name, small and great, and that God should destroy those who destroy the earth. That's a reference to the tribulation period. Because of their rebellion against God, judgment came upon their homes, upon their lands, and we've been reading about that. And that's pretty depressing stuff if we leave it at that. But it ends in a glorious, glorious up-tempo beat here. It says in verse 19, it will be done. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Who's telling us this? John. What was John's background? What was his religious background? Jewish. We are hearing a Jewish boy, an old Jewish man now, tell us in his vision, I saw heaven open. I saw the temple open. None of us get the magnitude of that. None of us here. Not only that, I saw the Ark of the Covenant. I said, wait a minute. How did it get there? It's always been there. You ever read your Bible carefully? Jot it down, my friend. Hebrews chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. It's always been there. It's never left. What? What about Indiana Jones? And what about the temple in Jerusalem? And all that kind of stuff. The Bible says in those chapters of Hebrews, listen, that was just a man-made copy. It means nothing to God. Well, what about the temple? It means nothing to God. Do you think if the temple meant anything to God that Jesus would have gone in it and made it the big deal? Wouldn't you think that if the temple meant everything to God, that Jesus would have taken the temple from Rome and from the Pharisees? Do you have any record of Jesus going inside the temple? Nope. He visited the temple. He stepped into the outer courts of the temple, but never inside the temple. I'm so glad. Why? Listen carefully. There's a great punchline to this as we end. My friend, if you being saved was predicated upon a temple, then there would be a temple standing today. The Bible says, and this is what John's talking about right here in verse 19. I saw the one true temple that has always been and always shall be and will never go away. I saw the temple in heaven. And not only that, the door opened up, the veil, and I saw the Ark of the Covenant. Not the one that was on earth. Oh no, that was just a copy. Hebrews says, and the one on earth was a copy of the one in heaven. How clear can that be? He said, wait a minute, this is kind of shaking my boat here. Oh, just wait, the shaking's just begun. Because my friend, my salvation is so secure in Jesus. In fact, By a show of your hand, point to heaven right now if you would. I mean, okay, point up. Some of you are like going, was it up or down to the right? Okay, just point up. Okay, where is Jesus? He's in heaven. Where did he enter a holy of holies not made with human hands? Heaven, says the book of Hebrews. Where did he offer his blood upon the altar? How do we know? Because he never did it on earth. Aren't you glad?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, you ought to be glad because the temple was destroyed shortly after Jesus ascended back to heaven. So would have been your salvation. Man, if you ever wanted to doubt your salvation, if that's your view, then you ought to doubt it now. You're all messed up. Our salvation is secure because Jesus offered his blood upon the altar, not made with human hands, in heaven before God his Father, so that moth or rust or no thief can break in and steal our salvation. Why? It's in heaven. That's great news. The other thing is this. Listen, make sense of this. You must choose Christ today whom you cannot see. You must choose Christ today whom you don't go to a little box and meet. You must choose Christ today because he's not in a building. The Bible says that if you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and confess that truth with your mouth, you shall be saved. How's that? Listen, if you go to the temple of the Baha'i in Haifa, there is the dead body of the founder of the Baha'i faith. And people are waiting for him to pop out of his tomb so they can declare him to be God. So they have a temple that's holding his remains in Haifa, Israel. Beautiful. It's not going to work. Listen. You can go to the Taj Mahal in India, where the bones, where the body of that princess is at, and you await her resurrection. You're awaiting her hope. My friend, you can go to the Baha'i, you can go to the Taj Mahal, and it's not going to get you in heaven. Well, listen, you can go to Salt Lake City, and that temple will not get you into heaven. Do you think if that temple and the association of that temple could get you into heaven, then God has made a huge mistake? Because he speaks of one greater that doesn't dwell, nor is it built by human hands, but it's eternal in the heavens. Think about it. Think about this. This is serious stuff. Where's your salvation? How secure is it? Listen, I get news for you. It's not in the Vatican and Rome either. Any temple, any palace, any place, any church made with human hands is not connected to your salvation. What about this church? Not connected to your salvation. What about Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa? Mesa? Not associated with your salvation. What about if I go to Saudi Arabia and go to Mecca and go to the Hajj and do my offerings, not connected to salvation? What if I try my best to keep the Ten Commandments? Not connected to your salvation. What if I'm a good, long-term, faithful, tithing, giving Baptist? Not associated, not in connection with your salvation. What if you're a pastor of a church? Probably more strikes against you than anything. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's offensive to all of us. You will not go to heaven based upon any membership, any connection, any association with anything of this earth. For God's kingdom will descend upon earth. And before that happens, Jesus says, the kingdom is within you. That's if you choose and ask him to sit upon the throne of your life now. Please do that now. Please don't delay. The kingdom first comes in spirit before it ever comes physically. Let's pray. I'm just going to ask you right now, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, do you want to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ? I want to say that I can't make it any more clear than this. I would only add that Jesus said, I'm the way. There are not other ways. He said, I am the life. There's no other lives. He said that he's the truth. There is no additional truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And then he went and was beaten, hung on a cross, crucified, and rose from the dead. And so you can put an exclamation point behind that statement of Jesus's. He said, all that will come to me will come because the Father draws him. It's both delightful and tragic that in this sanctuary now at this moment, there are those who could care less about Jesus and all about the world and fun and food and things and whatever. And then there are those who are saying, I don't want to talk about food. I don't want to talk about fun. I need to settle this score with Jesus. I'm in trouble and I need him now. Then my friend, all those who Jesus called, he invited publicly because you see the Father is laying out the invitation to all people. But those who are listening, they'll respond in this moment of pressure. And I say that correctly, pressure. You feel an intense pressure upon your gut on the inside to make a decision. And frankly, you don't like it. I understand that. That is God speaking to you right now. That he would come in and fix your life. Don't try to fix it on your own. Let him do it. I don't care if you just came from fornication this morning or adultery or robbing a bank. Repent now. That has changed the direction that you're on and follow him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called God's Final Witness to the World, Part 5. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, God's Final Witness to the World, Part 5 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and its unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, everybody, this is David Jay in studio with my friend, Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. But let me tell you, I am counting down until Countdown arrives at my house. I'm really excited about this new book. Now, it's called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. And it's a brand new book you wrote about the indicators happening today, you know, right now, that point to prophecies and end times events. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know what? Lately, with all the things that have been going on in the world, mm-hmm. of course, more specifically these last few years,
right?
But of late, with wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus put it, just quickly put together a book from recent messages that I've done.
Yeah.
And I think that people will find it extremely timely because, of course, there's been a lot added in between the sermon notes and all that are relevant and current to this moment. I think people are going to find it insightful. And the goal, of course, is to bring the hope of the gospel to people.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, you mentioned the timeliness of this book with all that's happening in the world today. It feels like these days we might be running out of time.
Yeah, exactly why both the cover will depict time fleeting and the title Countdown itself. I think, Davey, when you look at it, people, believer or non-believer, there's a sense of urgency among people. I know among those who are believers, there's a sense of urgency, basically to get the job done about getting out the gospel. But for the non-believer, I think they sense an overwhelming grip of things being temporary.
Mm-hmm.
The zeal, for example, of passions are now quickly becoming not the answer. Unfulfilling, which it used to take a lifetime of pursuing sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as people would say it,
right?
Power, education. Now they're finding out really quick, wow, you know what? This leaves a really bitter taste, and I'm still empty, and I need to find hope.
Well, there you have it. The new book by Pastor Jack, Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game, and you can order it right now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/offer. That's jackhibbs.com/offer. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.